Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, it has sort of become a little bit our theme verse for these series of messages that we've been on concerning the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10 and verse 22, wisdom's word. It is the Lord's blessing that makes a person rich. We want the blessing of God on our lives. We want it for our families. We want it for our church. We want it for our community. We want it even for our nation. Isn't that often our prayer, our request? God bless America. And no wonder we would. It's His blessing that makes us rich. It's His blessing that is the solution to our biggest problem, the answer to our boldest prayer, and the fulfillment of our bravest dream. How good to consider that our lives can, could be, would be blessed. How we would live in and under the blessing and the favor of God. How even better to consider that God wants that even as we do. God's will for you and me. I believe it this morning. I believe Scripture testifies to the reality, to the truth of it. God's will for you, God's will for me, that we would live blessed lives. He longs to show us His favor. He longs to show you His favor. He does want to bless you beyond your ability to ask or imagine. He is in the blessing business. And as His children, blessing is your birthright. He's made it to be so. When you set your heart to wanting His blessing, you set your heart on a good thing. You've set your heart on His heart for you. And when you make it your desire, the blessing of the Lord, when you determine to live your life in pursuit of His blessing, you've done a good thing. You've determined to live your life in agreement with His will for you, because His will is to bless you. The question becomes then, how do we get His blessing? How do we experience and live in that, in His favor? Well, we can ask Him, we can pray for it, but we don't just have to do that. According to Psalm 1, we can turn away from harmful habits, we can turn away from wicked ways. We can rededicate ourselves to His Word. We can mature in Him. We can grow up in Him. Our walk with Him, our relationship with Him. We can submit ourselves more and better to His guiding, to His leading, so that in all we are, we're being just like Him, looking more like Him. So that in all we do, we're doing like He would do. We're His disciples. We're walking in His footsteps. We imitate Him as He leads us into that. We can do that. We can do all of that. And Scripture reveals to us that when we do, without even having to ask or even in fact pray for it, we will experience His blessing. So do that. Do all of that. Make the blessing happen. According to Psalm 119, we can properly respond to God's Word. We can delight in it. We can get it. We can believe it. We can obey it. We can speak it. We can be changed by it. And in simply doing that, we can be blessed because of it. So do all of that. Make the blessing happen. This morning, Psalm 112 in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands. Psalm 128 in verse 1, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. Proverbs 28, blessed is the man who always fears the Lord. Understand this morning, recognize today the word of the Lord. There is blessing for you on the other side of living life in the fear of God. Just a few things for us to consider this morning. Number one, the first thing that I want you to see, let's call this the command. In our day, in our culture, even in Christianity, I wonder but that there would seem to be a neglect, a lack of concern, maybe even in many ways a complete loss of what it is to fear God, to live our lives in the fear of the Lord. Maybe a questioning of it, a questioning of its validity, its relevance in our day and for our day. We would perhaps hear it asked this way: is it something that belongs this side of the cross? Maybe it's one of those things that today, our culture, our day has turned into a sort of Old Testament thing. Fine for them then, but we live on this side of Jesus. We live on this side of the cross. The life, the death, the resurrection of the Lord. We live in the day of grace. God loves us. God's been gracious to us. God's been merciful to us. God wants us to know that. God wants us to live in the reality of that, not in a fear of Him, or so maybe we've heard said. I think it's certainly true of our culture of America. Something's been lost as it relates to fearing God. One pastor author, he writes, it used to be in our culture that there was perhaps, albeit a distant, nonetheless, respect for God and a certain kind of respect for those who knew God. I don't know if you've noticed, but that's not around anymore. We've lost that. We used to have a great and high regard for someone if we could say about them, he's a God-fearing man, or she's a God-fearing woman. Today, culture looks at those people and calls them weird. People ask me all the time, what's gone wrong in our culture? What's gone wrong with our nation? What's gone wrong with America? And I tell them, we've lost our fear of God. Again, even in Christianity, maybe even in many Christian circles, fear has been removed from the equation as it relates to our relationship with the Lord. Maybe we've even heard it said, God isn't someone you need to fear. Don't ever let fear, you don't need to ever let fear define your relationship with Him. This morning, I want to turn your attention to God's word on the matter. And I want to invite you to close your ears to what culture maybe would tell you, to close your ears to for sure what the devil would tell you, to close your ear for what you even maybe would tell yourself, to close your ears to maybe even what you would hear on Christian television. I want you to hear the word of the Lord today. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God directed that God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, the children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping His decrees and commands. Fear the Lord your God, verse 13 says, Deuteronomy 6, serve Him only. In verse 24, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God. In Deuteronomy 10, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, if you fear the Lord and serve and obey Him and do not rebel against His commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follows the Lord your God, good. But if you don't obey the Lord and if you rebel, His hand will be against you as it was against your fathers. Be sure, in verse 24 then, to fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things He's done for you. Psalm 33, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. In Psalm 34, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. In Proverbs 3, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Ecclesiastes ends with a section the NIV entitles The Conclusion of the Matter. The writer, in my research on how life works, how life works best, what matters, what doesn't matter, the teacher concludes it all. Here's what I've discovered. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. In Acts chapter 9, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit and grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Paul's testimony of both himself and all of his ministry team in 2 Corinthians 5, we know what it is to fear the Lord. In 1 Peter 2, live as free men, but don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of the believers. Fear God. Honor the King. It was the dominant message of the Old Testament, clearly present in the New as well, and it will be the message to come. In Revelation chapter 14, I saw an angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." Fear God. It was the message for then. It is the message still for now, and it will be the message still being preached in the end by God's own angels. Psalm 119, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. It's the message that endures. Fear God. Genesis chapter 22, Abraham is commanded by God to give back to him Isaac, to take him up to the mountain and build an altar and put Isaac on it and sacrifice him, Abraham's only son, the son that Abraham loved. In Genesis chapter 22, then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am," he replied. Verse 12, "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham feared God. Joseph wins his brother's trust and confidence after their father died by letting them to know, letting them to be assured of their safety. They're going to be okay. He's not just going to kill them all after dad dies. Everything's going to be fine. And here's the assurance that he gives them. "I'm a God-fearing man." In Exodus chapter 1, it was the fear of God that made the Egyptian midwives save the Hebrew boys instead of following the command of Pharaoh and killing them. According to the law, it was the fear of God that would make the people to care for the disabled and to care for the elderly. Moses chose leaders that feared God so that there wouldn't be any injustice, so that they wouldn't take bribes. The last words of David in 2 Samuel, "The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said, when one rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he's like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings the grass from the earth." Don't you wish it was a qualification for our leaders today? How good would it be if it were to be their defining characteristic, men and women who lead, who govern, who fear God? Joshua's final words, "Fear the Lord, serve him." In Isaiah chapter 11, we read this prophetic word as it relates to life and ministry of Jesus. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him." You know this. You're familiar with it. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. Unless you're inclined to think it a bad thing, a harsh, a difficult thing, consider this. Jesus, not only did he live in the fear of the Lord, he delighted to do so. If the call of Christianity, simply put and simply defined, is to be like Jesus, which it is, then there must be a recognition that the fear of God must be evident in us. There must be a spirit of knowledge and the fear of God that rests on us. There must even be a delighting in the fear of the Lord within us. As it was for him, so it must be for us as we pursue all the other things, all the other characteristics, all the attributes that would make us to look like Jesus. So we must also pursue this, the fear of the Lord. That's the word of God on the fear of God. And listen to me this morning, we would know this to be true. It's not about what we hear. It's not about what we read. It's not about what someone tells us. It's not even about how or what we think about it. It can't be any of that. It must always and only be about what Scripture says, and Scripture is clear. We are to fear God. God says so. He commands it. He demands it of us. Jesus did. And in our culture, our day, new century, doesn't change that. Doesn't make it irrelevant. Come on, we're 2020. Don't we know that our relationship with God should be beyond this? Well, we fear God. We live in a fear of God. The fear of the Lord. No, that's antiquated. That's outdated. That doesn't belong. Come on. We know more. We know better. Listen to me. The new day, the new culture, a different culture, a new century, a different century, a new decade, a different decade doesn't change God's word, doesn't make what God says irrelevant, doesn't make it less important. So hear me today. We must fear God. We must live in a fear of Him. So because God's word says so, we decide today that we'll fear God. In that, we have to take a few minutes to consider what that means. And we have to understand what the fear of the Lord is, what it looks like, how we live life there. Be careful of forgetting this. Be careful of getting caught up. Well, pastor says we have to fear the Lord. The Bible says we have to fear the Lord. And then we run in some crazy, weird direction because we think that's what the fear of God looks like, or that's what the fear of God is. Yes, let's determine today, forget culture, forget what everyone everywhere might be telling us. The command of Scripture is still valid, it's still good, God's word is still true. We are to fear God, but in that, we must understand what the fear of God is. Maybe even to say it this way, we better understand what it isn't, so that not only are we deciding to walk in the fear of the Lord, we're deciding, determining today to walk properly in the fear of the Lord. And what it is. So first this morning we said the command. Let's call this number two, the comprehension. A few things here, really the bulk of our message here. First, the fear of God. What is it? Martin Luther, the great reformer, in considering the fear of God, he made this distinction. There is the servant fear, and then there's the family fear. The servant kind, it's the kind of fear that a slave would have at the hands of a malicious master, or maybe the fear that a prisoner in a torture chamber would have for his jailer, tormentor, executioner. It's a dreadful anxiety in which someone is frightened really by a clear and present danger represented by another person. But then there's the family fear. This refers to the fear that a child has for his father or mother. It's the child who has a tremendous respect for them, who daily wants to please them, who has a fear or anxiety of offending them, the father, the mother that he loves, not because of some perceived torture or punishment that would result, but rather because he's afraid of displeasing them, displeasing the ones in that child's world that are the source of security and love, displeasing the one that the child loves more than anything else in all the world. Do you understand the difference? Important this morning to commit ourselves to fearing God, but equally important that we understand what it is. The invitation for you, dear servant of God, dear brother or sister, is to not walk in a fear that is a servant's fear. torment that God is going to bring, a torment that God is ready to unleash on you for every failure or every mistake. The fear of God that you are invited to walk in is a childlike fear that says, I love my Father so much. He's so good to me. He provides for me. I just don't want to displease Him. Not because He's going to beat me all up when I do, but because I love Him. I want to live for Him. I want to bring a smile to His face in everything that I would say and do. You would perhaps think of yourself as a servant of God. Really, may all of us think of ourselves as that. May we be that. But when it comes to fearing Him, you're better off considering yourself as His child. God, one author says, doesn't want us to cower like slaves in the household where the children should be enjoying the sweet peace in their father's care. The fear of God, it's not a cowering away from Him, avoiding Him because you're afraid of Him kind of fear. This is a reverential awe, respect, and honor. This is an awareness of the glory of God and the majesty of God, the greatness of God who made the heavens and the earth, whose deeds are marvelous, whose power is great. He is the omnipotent God, after all. Nothing is too difficult for Him. This is an awareness of the wisdom of God. He's all-knowing. He does know the end from the beginning. This is an awareness of the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. Godly fear is based on the conviction that God's a holy God whose very nature leads Him to judge sin. The fear of God, this is an awareness of how holy God is, and in His holiness, how He then responds to, how He then in His holiness must respond to and treat sin. The phrase carries the idea of an awesome dread. Maybe we could think of that in light of Isaiah's experience when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. When he heard the angel singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. When their voices shook the doorposts and the threshold of the temple, Isaiah cried out. There was an awesome dread that settled over him as he in his sinfulness encountered the Lord in His holiness. His words, woe to me, I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord, God Almighty. That's the sense, the fear of God that we would have, the awareness that God is holy. And because He is, there are serious consequences for sin. God's just, God's righteous judgment and punishment on sin. It's harsh, even eternal, because He is holy, holy, holy. To fear the Lord is to have a sense of awe and respect for Him as the Holy One, so that when He speaks, it's the final word. The fear of God is an awareness of the authority of God. He is the Lord of your life. He is the sovereign. It's to surrender yourself to Him. It's to submit yourself to His authority and His sovereignty in you, over you. The fear of God, so an awareness of the praise and worship worthiness of God. A moment ago, we considered the fear of the Lord as awesome dread. There's another thought carried in the meaning. It's an astonished devotion. It's an awareness of the worthiness of God that makes one to be totally and solely devoted to Him. How about simply this, Proverbs 15, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. The fear of the Lord, what is it? Well, it's a lot of things. This morning, our thoughts, just a few of them. Ultimately, in the end, how about we conclude here by simply saying this, the fear of God, it's the thing that's more valuable. It's the thing that's better. What are you pursuing? How are you living your life? If your answer isn't the fear of God, but Pastor, I haven't thought about the fear of God. I didn't even know we're still supposed to be living in the fear of God. Pastor, it's not really been on my radar. A lot of things I think about God, a lot of things I'm pursuing in my relationship with God in life, but the fear of God hasn't been on the radar. I just want to encourage you this morning. The fear of God, it's better. it's more valuable. So in other words, if your answer isn't the fear of God, no matter what your answer is, I don't even need to hear it this morning. What you're pursuing, where you're going, the things that are on your radar, no matter what the answer is, I have an answer for you this morning that is better than yours, that is more valuable than yours. According to Proverbs chapter 15, it's the fear of God. And think about that for a moment, and we'll get to it as we consider the fear of God. What you're going to discover is that living in the fear of God is this sort of huge umbrella, and there are so many other things that trickle down from that. Well, Pastor, I'm pursuing holiness in my walk with God. We'll get to it in a minute, but you know what will help you in your walk in life of holiness? A fear of God. A fear of God will result in holy living. So you're saying I'm pursuing holy living, and I would just say to you, but there's something better, there's something more valuable, and that's living life in the fear of God. You live life there, you pursue that, and the holiness and everything else, I would venture to say, that would be on your list will sort of take care of itself as you live your life fearing the Lord. Number two, remember the comprehension, the fear of God. What is it? Now number two, the fear of God, why we do it. We fear God because he said so. That was a few minutes ago, right? Scripture is clear. The command is clear. Fear God. We fear God because of who he is. In Psalm 89, who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord God of hosts, who's mighty like you? O Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you. In Jeremiah 10, Lord, there's no one like you, for you're great and your name is full of power. Who would not fear you, O King of nations? The title belongs to you alone among all the wise people of the earth and in all the kingdoms of the world. There is no one like you. He is the creator. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Almighty God. He's the one who rules and reigns over everything. He is perfectly righteous and completely holy. He has all authority and rule and power and dominion. We fear God because of who he is. There is no one like him. We fear God because of what he's done. We could think of that in this context. Not only what he's done, but what he's doing and what he will do. What has he done? The psalmist in Psalm 33 considers what God has done in light of creation. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. What has God done that makes us to fear him? He spoke, and the world came into existence. Really, in a sense, the entire Bible, 66 books, that would reveal to us what God has done and why then we are to fear him. We fear God because of what he's done and what he's doing. God is doing. God's working today, even in fact, every day. In Psalm 130, David considers God's present work of forgiveness. Aren't you glad for that this morning? What God is doing today, he's forgiving us of all of our sins. Psalm 130, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. It's not the only thing God's doing in our day, but for sure it's one of the great things. If we confess, he is faithful. He forgives. He cleanses. He's healing. He's delivering. He's setting free. He's saving. He's orchestrating the events of the world so that they perfectly align with his perfect plan. He's blessing. We'll see that in a minute. Why we should fear God, because he blesses. That's the work that God's doing right now, and it's the reason why we fear him. What he's done, what he's doing, and we fear God because of what he will do. He will soon sit as judge over all the earth. And with a rod of iron, he will judge all injustice, all iniquity. Revelation 20, I saw a great white throne, him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence. no place for them. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Books were opened. Another was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. It's a solemn and holy truth of Scripture. One author writes that on the day of final judgment, every person will give an account to God for his or her actions and the stewardship of life. Hebrews chapter 10, the Lord will judge his people. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We fear God because of who he is, because of what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. Number three, still the comprehension this morning, the fear of God. How do we do it? How do we live in the fear of God? True fear of the Lord causes believers to place their faith and their trust in Jesus alone for salvation. That's where the fear of God begins. It's the fear of God that gets you saved. And we could maybe say it this way, it's the fear of God that keeps you saved. Philippians chapter 2, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. In Romans 11, Israel has rejected God's salvation, and the Gentiles have been grafted in, but there's a warning from the Lord to the Gentiles. In Romans 11 and verse 17, if some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You don't support the root. The root supports you. You'll say branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant. Listen to Paul's words. You know what he's going to say next? But be afraid. Romans chapter 11, verse 20. In your salvation, now I've been saved a long time. You know, God did a pretty good thing when he saved me. Granted, I'm going to give God most of the credit. He did, but wow, he really did a good thing, because check me out. I'm a great Christian. I love the Lord. I give a lot. I read the Bible a lot. Listen, Paul says, don't be that. Be afraid. Firmly establish yourself in Jesus. Recognize that becoming proud and presumptuous and arrogant and self-sufficient in your salvation is to go the way of the Jews in Romans 11 and to lose out in what God has ordained for you. Be afraid of drifting from Jesus. You're saved in him, only in him. Don't forget that. Listen, I speak to some saints in the room that have been saved for a long time. I just remind you today, you're not saved because you're good. You're not saved because you don't act like the world. You're not saved because you don't talk like them. Good that you don't. I'm glad you don't. You're not saved because you come to church. I'm glad you're here this morning. But none of those things save you. It's Jesus that does. So I'm not going to ask you this morning, how's your talk been? I'm not going to ask you, how's your church attendance been? I'm not going to ask you, what's your giving record? I'm going to ask you, how are you with Jesus? How are you in your relationship? When was the last time you told him you loved him? When was the last time you spent with him? When was the last time you just worshiped him? When was the last time you just blessed him? When was the last? Where's the relationship with the Lord? What are you doing to preserve that? There's a terror outside of Christ. There's God's wrath outside of Christ. So the fear of God and his wrath brings us to Jesus so that we might be saved. And now in Jesus, there's a terror still, albeit a different kind. In him, we're not afraid of God's wrath because Jesus saves us from God's wrath. In him, we're afraid of being outside of him. So now here we are in him. The fear of God keeps us in him. Some of you know this, the storm that comes and throws down on this planet ice and snow. You know what it is to fear the storm. And the fear of the storm sends you to the grocery store so that you have a few days worth of supplies. But then you also know what it is to stand at the window and sort of look out and say to yourself, I'm not going out there. It's the fear of the Lord that helps you to run to him for salvation. And it's the fear of the Lord that keeps you there saying, I'm not going back out there where the wrath of God is my destiny. And the things of this world and of sin and of the devil define me. In Psalm 128, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. How you walk, how you live, walking, living in him, in his ways. That's how you fear God. Turning your back to evil, ridding your life of sin and everything that would displease him. Proverbs 3, don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. Proverbs 8, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Isaiah 66, this is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word, being sensitive, being responsive to the word of the Lord, that's how you fear God. Receive God's word with humility. Let it correct you. Receive it with a contrite spirit. Let it bring you to repentance. Let it bring you to change. Let it make you stop doing the things you're not supposed to do. Let it make you start doing the things you are supposed to do. Proverbs 28 and verse 14, blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. There's a real sense, the fear of God contrasted with a hard, unperceptive, and unreceptive heart. Don't let your heart be like that. Don't let your heart be hardened to his word. Don't let your heart be hardened to his correction. Obey his word. In humility, surrender to him. Do what he asks you to do. Hold nothing back from him. That was the story of Abraham. Now I know you fear God. You've held nothing back, Abraham. That's how you fear the Lord. Hold nothing back. When God comes and says, listen, that area of your life, I want it. That area of your life, I'm telling you, you don't need it. You need to get rid of that because I want to fill your life with more of me. When God comes, don't harden your heart to that. Don't turn a deaf ear to that. Be willing to give to him whatever he asks of you. Psalm 112, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. How about this? Living in the awareness of God's presence. That's living in the fear of God. Wherever you go, wherever you would ever be, God's there. And because he is, he knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're dealing with. Living in the fear of God, then, is living in awareness of that. Make you to decide. Maybe I ought not to be doing this because God's right here with me. Maybe I ought not to be talking this way to my spouse because God's right here in the living room while I'm saying what I'm about to say. Maybe I ought not to be treating my children like that. Maybe I ought not to be talking about my boss behind my boss's back like that. Because God's right, forget my boss, I don't care where my boss is, God's right here with me while I'm here talking like that, while I'm here thinking like that. That's the fear of God. Change how you live. Live in light of holiness and righteousness and the purity of his presence. Hebrews chapter 12, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. It's true, God extends to us the invitation to come boldly into his presence. And it's true, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we call him Abba. We call him Father. Despite that, we worship with reverence and awe, fully cognizant of his majesty, his glory, his worthiness. Listen, be careful of making something it's not. We don't all have to be robots. We don't all have to worship God the same way. We don't all have to sit in God's presence to hear his word the same way. Some of you do it with an open Bible. Some of you do it with an open Bible and open notebook. Some of you just do it with your mind tuned in to every word that's spoken. But listen, we all must do it with reverence and awe. A few minutes ago, the Lord of glory was in this room. And I'm not saying you had to lift your hands because your neighbor was. I'm not saying you had to even lift your voice like your neighbor was. But I'm going to ask you this morning, the Lord of glory in this place, did you worship him with reverence and awe? If you did, well done. Why are we taking so long to talk about the fear of God? You know it. But if all of a sudden you're checked up in your spirit, my mind was all, the Lord of glory was in the room and I was thinking about tomorrow's activities. The Lord of glory was here. Listen, you don't have to do like everybody else does. You don't have to do, you do it, you can do it your way. You can worship God as you feel so led. You can run to the altar. You can stand up. You can lift your hands. You can fold your hands. You can do however you do. But all of us, we worship Him in reverence and awe. Fear the Lord is a choice, a gift of God, imparted by His Spirit. It involves the decision then, the will to respond to the Word and the Spirit so that we might fear Him. The fear of God, what is it, why we do it, how we do it? Number four this morning, and we'll wrap up the comprehension here, the fear of God, what it does for us. We don't have time this morning, unfortunately. Listen, Psalm 112, we read it. There's blessing. That's the message today, isn't it? That's the message over these weeks. You bring blessing to your life. Listen to me this morning. You bring blessing to your tomorrow. You bring blessing to the week ahead by deciding today, I'm going to live tomorrow. I'm going to live this week in the fear of the Lord. The meaning of the word blessing, it's happy, but it's more than happy. It's happy, happy, happy. It's happy many times over. Your life can be lived like that. Your life can be lived in that as you choose to live life in the fear of the Lord. The book of Ecclesiastes, the sort of contrast that is presented throughout. What is meaningless? What is meaningful? The life that is meaningful, the life that is meaningless. The conclusion, we read it a moment ago. Here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Two imperatives, obey God, fear God. That's where the meaningful is found. You want your life to be happy. Happy, happy, happy. You want your life to be filled with happy, happy, happy happiness. Choose the meaningful then today. Choose the blessing. Make the blessing happen today. Fear the Lord. Psalm 128, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You'll eat the fruit of your labor. Blessing and prosperity. Come on, that's okay. Don't get nervous by that, church. I'm going to read it again because you might need to hear it again. Come on, don't be afraid to claim it today. Blessing and prosperity. Not because the crazy TV preacher says so. Not because you gave your offering, but because you live in the fear of the Lord. I'm just going to tell you what God's word says. Blessing and prosperity will be yours. Proverbs 22, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Proverbs 10 and 27, the fear of the Lord adds length to your life, but the years of the wicked will be cut short. Proverbs 14, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. In Deuteronomy 6, the Lord commanded us to obey, to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive. Psalm 31, how great is your goodness, which you've stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men. God's goodness is made abundantly available to you as you decide, as you determine to live in the fear of the Lord. Psalm 145, He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. Do you understand this morning? What is it that you desire today? Can I tell you? This is the freedom. You can put that on the back burner. Oh, no, Pastor, I got to pray. I got to seek God. No, really, you don't. Not according to Psalm 145. This is what you need to do. You need to decide today to live in the fear of the Lord. And you need to then stand on this promise from Psalm 145. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. Proverbs 19, the fear of the Lord leads to life. One rests content, untouched by trouble. The fear of God will keep you out of trouble that you otherwise would get yourself into. Come on, you know it's true. Don't you know it's true? All the trouble that you've ever gotten yourself into, can't you see now clearly? There was a lack of fear of God in my life at that particular time. Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. He delivers them. In Psalm 33, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death, keep them alive in famine. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and He is our shield. Psalm 34, the Lord, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. Lions grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. There's provision for you when you fear the Lord. We considered this already from Romans 11 related to salvation. The fear of God functions as a preservative for you. The fear of God will help you to pursue holiness. Proverbs 19, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul writes, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates, body and spirit. Watch this. Perfecting holiness out of our reverence for God. The command of Scripture is to be holy as He is holy. It's the fear of the Lord that will help you to fulfill that command of God. It's the fear of the Lord that will make holiness to be perfected in you. It's the fear of the Lord that will help you say no to sin and yes to righteousness and yes to purity and yes to holiness. It's the fear of the Lord that has a sanctifying effect on God's people. It causes us to live in discipline. It causes us to live in restraint. How we do, how we act, how we talk, how even we think. The fear of the Lord is pure and cleansing, holy and redeeming in its effect. The fear of the Lord causes us to serve God better with a sober kind of single-mindedness. Fear of God will help you to obey better. The fear of God will help you to mature in your faith, in your salvation, in your relationship with Jesus. That's from Psalm 1. All of us, there's blessing that comes as we grow up in our walk with the Lord, as we grow up, as we mature. It's the fear of God that will help you to grow up in Him. It's the fear of God that will help you have and live your life in wisdom. Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. We'll consider this another week, but I want you to catch this. It's sort of a double blessing, if you will. And listen, you fear God and you will be blessed. And part of that blessing is that you will get wisdom. And then even more blessing, because as you live in wisdom, you will again be blessed by God. Fear God, you'll not only get the blessing that comes from fearing Him, you'll get the blessing that comes from wisdom, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom evidenced in your life. The fear of God will set you free from all other fears. It might not be for all of us, but is fear a problem for you? Is fear an issue for you? Pastor, I got to get... We talked about it a number of Wednesday nights ago. Fear. It was our message the first Sunday of this new year. We don't have to be afraid because God's with us. If fear is a struggle, and let's be honest, at certain times fear is a struggle for all of us. But if you find yourself living in fear, oh, Pastor, I've got to get rid of the fear. I've got to be set free from the fear. Yes, true. Let me show you another way. Live in the fear of God, and all other fears will begin to dissipate. Acts chapter 9, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed a time of peace, strengthened, encouraged by the Holy Spirit, grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. There's a spiritual security. There's a growth. There's a peace. There's a strength. There's an encouragement. There is an enabling grace and power of the Holy Spirit that you experience as you live in the fear of the Lord. In Isaiah 33, the Lord's exalted, for He dwells on high. He'll fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be sure, the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always. Watch this. So that it might go well with them and their children forever. The word is perpetuity. It's the continuation of a thing. Even sort of eternality of a thing, a timelessness of a thing. You live in the fear of God, and all that we just mentioned, it will not only be for you, it will be for your children as well. So here it is. Do you want to bless your children? Do you want your children to be blessed? According to Deuteronomy chapter 5, fear God, and they will be. Proverbs 14 and verse 26, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children, it'll be a refuge. The end of it all, again, Ecclesiastes, although a wicked man commits 100 crimes and still lives a long time, I know that it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. Wisdom's word, the teacher's words. Listen, simply put, you live in the fear of God, and life will go better for you. So fear him. Live your life in the fear of the Lord. Be blessed. Make the blessing happen. That would be number three this morning, the command, the comprehension, and number three, the compliance. Let's do it. Let's live in the fear of the Lord. We understand what it is. We understand why we do it. We understand how we do it. We understand the blessing that is ours as we do it. So we're going to do it right. We're not going to be the slave in God's house cowering in fear, because that's not what the fear of God is. We're going to live in the fear of the Lord rightly, appropriately understanding what the fear of God is. We're going to do it. We're going to obey the command. I don't know what that looks like for you today. I don't know what needs to change about your Sunday afternoon as you decide and determine today, I'm going to live in the fear of the Lord. I don't know what that looks like for you tomorrow, Tuesday, this week. I don't know what it looks like for now, this last Sunday in January, for the rest of the 11 months to come. But I want to encourage you today, listen to me, be blessed. Make the blessing happen. Fear God. Live in the fear of the Lord. Father, I pray that by your Spirit you would speak to our hearts today, how we might live more and better in the fear of the Lord. Father, we say yes to what your Spirit says to us. Father, today we commit to living more and better in the fear of God. May our lives be defined. We are a God-fearing people. As men, we are God-fearing men. As women, we're God-fearing women. We do. We fear God. We live in the fear of the Lord. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? Be blessed today. Pray that you would be. I pray that you would do the things that would make it to be blessed. And this morning, once more, this is going to be our conclusion for a few weeks. I have something for you. As the under-shepherd of the great shepherd, as the high priest of this place, in accordance with God's word, the authority that he's granted to me, I speak it. I declare it. Would you hold out your hands to receive it this morning? May the Lord hold you and keep you. May the Lord give you comfort. All this week, may the Lord hold you and keep you and give you comfort. May the Lord shine his face upon you and give you his favor and give you his peace.